We're doing Rav Chalap on Shavuot. Our topic is Ma'amar Lamed Lechag HaShavuot, Mesirut Nefesh LeKabbalat HaTorah, person's required dedication in order to receive Torah, the connection between Am Yisrael and Hashem, and the desire of Hashem that Am Yisrael will uphold the Torah. So the Torah tells us, "B'chodesh haShlishi letzet bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim." It was the third month since leaving Mitzrayim. "B'yom hazeh," on this day, "ba'u midbar Sinai." They came to the desert of Sinai. Rashi explains it should have said "b'yom ahu," on that day. What does it mean, "b'yom hazeh"? On this day, they came to Mount Sinai. Sheyiyu divrei Torah chadashim alecha keilu hayom nitnu. The words of Torah should seem new and fresh, as though just today they were given. Okay, so that's the first point. Bayom hazeh. Treat it as though today was your first day learning Torah. Today Hashem gave the Torah. We have a similar drasha on the pasuk, "Asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha." Right, the pasuk in Vayitchanan in Kriyat Shema, "The mitzvos that I command you today." The Medrash says it shouldn't seem like an old decree that a person doesn't bother reading. It should seem like something new that everyone wants to read. What's news? So that's why the Torah says, "Asher anochi mitzavecha hayom." The pasuk says, "Hayom hazeh niyeta le'am," in the end of Devarim, "today you've become a nation." So Chazal say that those who learn Torah love Torah every day as though today it was given at Sinai. So we have numerous places where Chazal referenced this idea that we should be refreshed in our approach to Torah. A person is supposed to arouse within him an excitement, a love for the Torah. Over here, there's a special concept. "Bayom hazeh, ba'u midbar Sinai." So the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos tells us, "Vayityatzevu b'tachtit ahar." They established themselves under the mountain. So the Gemara says, Hashem held the mountain over them like a gigit. What's a gigit? Like a bowl, upside down bowl. Hashem said to them, if you accept the Torah, good. And if not, over there, you will be buried. So the Gemara says, here we have a good excuse. But we could say, you forced us. Rava says, yeah, hadur kiblua. But however, in the days of Achashverosh, the Jews willingly accepted the Torah. Tosfos asks, what did Hashem need to hold the mountain over their head for? They already said Naaseh v'nishma earlier. Tosfos says, Hashem knew that when they'd see the great fire of Hashem coming to teach them Torah, they would have regretted it. Yeah, they said Naaseh v'nishma, but now they would have regretted it. Why? They'd see this great fire and they'd regret saying Naaseh v'nishma? What was Tosa saying when Tosa said they would have regretted it? So Rav Chalap says there's a deep concept here. We have a rule. Everyone knows this rule, that when it comes to Torah, a person has to stay alive. And if a person has to give up his life in order to keep a mitzvah, we say then forgo the mitzvah and stay alive. Three exceptions. There are three exceptions where a Jew has to be willing to give up his life and not transgress. One is gilui arayot, having the prohibited relations. Two is avodah zarah. Three is shfichut damim, murder. On those three, a person has to be willing to give up their life rather than transgress. What happens if it's not about a mitzvah? The nations are trying to get the Jews, they're trying to break the Jews so that the Jews will turn on the whole Torah. So then, Chazal say, even if they told you to change your shoelace, you have to stand up and say, I'm not changing a shoelace, I'm not changing a thing, I'm a Jew and I'm proud, right? That's the Benny Friedman song. I'm a Jew and I'm proud. receiving Torah has to be with Mesirut Nefesh. You want to receive Torah? What you're really saying is, I'm willing to dedicate everything about my life to the Torah, including my life. I'm willing to live a life where if the Torah tells me you have to be willing to give up your life on certain principles, I'm prepared to do that. So receiving Torah means without conditions. If a person is receiving Torah, that means he's saying, I'm prepared to do what the Torah says. So if they told a person to transgress a mitzvah, but their goal was not to break you from the Torah itself, so then nothing happened. If a person says, okay, today he won't eat kosher, they told him they'll kill him if he eats kosher, so he can eat non-kosher. They say, today anyone who doesn't eat pork gets shot. Okay, so he's allowed to eat pork. Torah said, that's part of the Torah commandment. I want you to live. So he's even fulfilling a mitzvah when he eats that pork. But if the non-Jew is coming to cause him to break away from the Torah, and then his point is, I want the Jew to say, I'm not accepting Torah. So then the Torah says, you can't say that. Part of receiving Torah is that you're willing to even give up your life over the Torah. And that's why the Torah says even over a shoelace don't give in. If the goal is not to break him from receiving the Torah, so then almost every mitzvah, 610 mitzvot, a person would transgress rather than lose their life. However, if the point is to touch that Kabbalat Torah, if the point is to show you don't really accept the Torah, that's why you're willing to change, so then a Jew stands on his back legs and says, no way, I'm not changing a shoelace. When we speak about Mesirut Nefesh, there are two types of Mesirut Nefesh. There's Mesirut Nefesh where a person is thinking, I'll do it and I'm hoping there's going to be a miracle. I'm going to make it out alive somehow. Then there's Mesirut Nefesh where a person says, I'm prepared to die in the name of Hashem. There will be, there won't be, that's not what interests me. His focus is, I'm standing up in the name of Hashem. The Pasuk says, V'nikdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael. And that's what Rashi says, dedicate yourself and be willing to sanctify my name. When a person goes, says Rashi, he should be prepared that even if he dies, he says, I'm willing to stand up for these values. If a person goes and says, I'm going because I hope there'll be a miracle done for me, then he can expect there will not be a miracle. You see, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said to Nebuchadnezzar, either Hashem will or won't save us, but we will not bow. Yeah, we might burn up, but we will not bow. When we speak about Mesirut Nefesh, the idea is it's not about me. It's not about me. And Mesirut Nefesh shouldn't be tainted with a person's own partiality. And any time a person's partiality is affected, so then it takes away from the Mesirut Nefesh. And so if a person's thoughts are, he'll have a miracle, even though you'd say, but he's doing the right action. He's doing it for, he's not giving in. Yeah. A person will say, if there'll be a miracle, there'll be a big Kiddush Hashem. Yeah. But there's still an element where a person's saying, I love life. And that's important to me, and that's part of what I'm thinking about right now. And Mesirut Nefesh, in truth, has to be, my life is not what I'm thinking about right now. I'm super dedicated to the cause, and I'm willing to give everything up for it. Whether there will or won't be a miracle is not what I'm thinking about right now. I'm thinking, this is important, and that's part of a person's dedication to Torah. It says, the nation saw the sounds. The nation saw the fire. They said to Moshe, you talk to us, so we'll hear. If Hashem talks to us, we will die. What's the problem? So they will die. Okay, so what's the problem? Huh?
Hashem talks to them, they will die.
Hashem says, "Hey, tivu kol asher dibeiru." They spoke well. I wish they had this awe of me in future times as well. They wanted to hear Hashem talk, but they wanted a miracle. They didn't want to die. So they weren't there. They weren't on that level of Mesirut Nefesh. Hashem says, "I want to teach you Torah." And they said, "We want to learn Torah." And then they said to Moshe, "But we might die." They were at a point where they said to Moshe, "We want a miracle. We don't want to die. The nations will look up to us if Hashem makes a miracle and we don't die." When they saw that great fire, that's what Tosfa says. They'll see the great fire, they might regret their Naseh v'Nishma. At that point, they're not going to be prepared to do whatever Torah says to the point of giving up their life. And that was the reason that they needed to have a mountain held over their head, according to Tosfos. Because receiving Torah means I'm prepared to give up my life for the will of Hashem. And at that point they said, "Moshe, we don't want to die." Ah, so that's not the way you should be receiving Torah. Receiving Torah is I'm prepared to go with anything. So now they went back on their Naseh v'Nishma. Ah, that's why Hashem held the mountain over their head. But that's what Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says, so we have an excuse. Till today, you'll ask me, why aren't we so great in keeping Torah? Well, we didn't have a choice. We accepted it because Hashem held the mountain over our heads. So that's what the Gemara continues and says. In the days of Mordechai and Esther, they accepted Torah again without conditions. Yeah.
We also accept the Torah and Hari Zimhari of heaven.
Okay.
I'm saying my wrong. Yoshua, he's the first of these blessings. He will accept it.
I have to think about it. So in the days of Mordechai and Esther, that's when they kimu v'kiblu. They said, "This is the truth. We're willing to accept it without stipulations and conditions." They realized they were almost dead, and they said, "If we have to die for the sake of keeping the Torah, we're prepared to do that too." Kimu v'kiblu. The Jewish people in the days of Mordechai and Esther reached the level they were supposed to reach. And that's what our sages say, that the period of miracles, open miracles on behalf of the Jewish people, was from Yetziat Mitzrayim till Esther. Till Esther, Chazal say, with Esther ended the period of miracles, on miraculous intervention on behalf of the Jewish people. And the Navi Micha says, when the Jews come back to be redeemed, Hashem will again do miracles on our behalf. Like the days I took you out of Mitzrayim, arenu niflot. That's what it says in Micha. So there's going to be a reawakening, so to speak, of that period. But the period ended in the days of Mordechai and Esther. That's what the Gemara says. Esther sof kol anisim. Esther was the end of the period of miracles. When we received the Torah, so we reach the level of Atem Advekim Hashem Elokechem Chayim Kulchem Ayom. Atem Advekim Hashem Elokechem. Those who connect with Hashem, their God. That connection is eternal. And the more we understand that, the more we can overcome the pitfalls of the Yetzer Hara. The understanding of Atem Advekim Bashem Elokechem. With that, Rav Chalap ends the first thought over here. That's something that needs thought. Meaning he's saying, yes, Kabbalat HaTorah involves Mesirut Nefesh, the willingness to give up everything on behalf of the way of the Torah. However, when we receive the Torah, we also receive the concept of Chayim Kulchem Ayom. Rav Chalap goes on to a Medrash. In the days of Yechezkel, the elders came to Yechezkel and they had claims they wanted to present before Hashem. They asked Yechezkel, if a young Kohen buys a slave, is the slave allowed to eat truma? So Yechezkel said, yes. They said, if the Kohen sells his slave to an Israelite, non-Kohen, is that slave still in the ownership of the Kohen? Isn't he now out of the Kohen's ownership, and now he does not eat truma anymore? So Yechezkel said, you're right. So they said, okay, so we were the slaves of Hashem, like the slaves of a Kohen. Now Hashem exiled us, so we should be free, like all the nations. Why do we have to keep the mitzvos? That's what the Navi describes, that the elders came to Yechezkel, and they asked him, the elders asked Yechezkel, shouldn't we be free from keeping mitzvos now that we're in exile? So Yechezkel says to them, really? You guys think whatever you want is what's going to happen? Let me remind you the history. Not exactly like a slave. You're like an orphaned girl that Hashem took care of you even when no one else took care of you. You were lying there, wallowing in your blood. No one else cared for you, and Hashem took care of you. And even if now he's upset at you, you still owe him. It has nothing to do with being free or sold. Rav Chalap says, this is not an ancient argument between the elders and Yechezkel. This is a recurring argument that takes place within a person, within a community, within the masses, within the individuals. This is a recurring argument. Every time a person feels like doing what they feel like doing, a person tries to tell himself, God doesn't care for me. He's not there for me. Hashem isn't really, so to speak, my master, because he's not taking care of me, just like the elder said to Yechezkel. He destroyed the temple, he kicked us out into exile. After everything Hashem has done to us, why do we owe him, so to speak? Says Rav Chalap, this is a recurring challenge every person experiences and every congregation experiences. And it's deeply ingrained in our nature. But a person has to know that this isn't true. You've never left Hashem's watching. Hashem is always running the world. And there's never a situation where you say, okay, Hashem doesn't care for me. If I can recognize that, then I recognize I'm never free. And that's what Yechezkel says. Do you think you're going to do whatever you feel like it? Not so. Hashem says, I'm the boss. And if a person wants to connect more to Hashem, he has to remember that pasuk in Yechezkel. You're not going to do whatever you feel like it. And that's the concept in Mishle, Emor l'chokhmah achoti at. A person has to think that his connection to the wisdom of Torah is like a sibling. A brother is a brother and it's never going to change. A sister is a sister and it's never going to change. our connection with the Torah is not like a husband and wife. A husband and wife always know, even if they don't talk about it, but on some level there's always that recognition that their connection can be severed. But a brother and a sister always know that they're still a brother and a sister. And that's why the Torah says, "Emor l'chokhma achotiyat." A person has to connect to the wisdom of Torah as though it was one sister. A person has to come to the recognition, there's no severing this bond. I'm here forever. We're connected forever. And that's what the Midrash says. Hashem called the Jewish people my daughter. Hashem called the Jewish people my sister. Hashem called the Jewish people my mother. Hashem was saying to the Jewish people, there are many types of connection. There's the connection a person has to his daughter, one day she gets married. There's the connection a person has to his sister, one day she gets married. There's the connection a person has to his wife. There's the knowledge that once upon a time I lived without her and it's possible I'll continue living without her. Everything's possible. We don't want to talk about such things. We wish ourselves it should never happen. However, it's not the eternal connection. When one speaks about a mother, so that's a connection that's different than any other connection. And so Hashem was coming to show us that there's multiple levels of connection. A connection to a mother is more so than the connection to a father. A person's father, one day they could find out all kinds of things, right? People find out suddenly. The Gemara brings stories about people who suddenly discovered that their mother was their mother, but their father wasn't their father, right? So, but the connection to a mother, that's a more definitive connection. And so the Ribon Shalom says, my connection to the people of Israel is even like that connection to a mother. But there's another level of connection too. There's a connection where two things are close to one another, and then there's a connection where two things need one another. They work in unison. A husband and a wife work together to bring children and raise children in the world. And that's why Hashem calls us also His wife. Hashem calls us many things, the Jewish people, because we have different roles in our connection. Hashem decided that in the world Hashem created, the world would only exist if there would be a Jewish people learning Torah and performing the mitzvos. And so it's as though Hashem says, this world is contingent on you, and you meaning you learning the Torah and doing the mitzvos, and that's what Chazal say from the first pasuk, Behi Baream, right? Yom HaShishi. Hashem says, I'm waiting for the sixth day. The whole purpose of creation is that day when the Jewish people will accept the Torah. And that's the idea that we're connected like a husband and wife. Hashem says, I want the world to last. And so Hashem says, so to speak, we work together to keep this world running. So we said concept number one was what? The idea of Mesirut Nefesh. Receiving Torah was the acceptance. I'm prepared to give up everything in order to ensure the Torah continue. Concept number two was the idea that that you can't break loose. This is an eternal connection. And what the elders said to Yechezkel is a continuous weakness that we have. The idea that maybe Hashem doesn't love me. Maybe Hashem's not there for me. Maybe Hashem's not taking care of me. And so a person sometimes wants to use that excuse to pull away. And just like Yechezkel answered the elders, this is an eternal bond, like a bond with a sister. So too, our bond to Hashem and to the Torah is an eternal bond. It's also like the bond of a husband and wife, because together we keep the world running. We, in this world, are representative of the concepts of the Torah through our learning of the Torah. And finally, we're up to the final concept Rav Chalap says. He says, now, if we start recognizing that our performance of Torah and mitzvah is what is the lifeline of keeping the world running, if we recognize the element of connection to Hashem in keeping Torah and mitzvot, so now we can attain a different level of connection. The level of Mesirut Nefesh. Your wife is going to sleep. You ask her, "Did you wash the dishes?" She says, "Yeah," and falls asleep. You go into the kitchen. You discover that you made a mistake. She thought you washed the dishes, and really she didn't. Do you wash the dishes? You're a good guy who washed the dishes. You go to sleep. Do you tell her the next morning, "Hey honey, you know, you thought you washed the dishes. You didn't, but I did it." There's one level of connection where you do. There's another level of connection where you don't. Where you don't tell her. You see this level of connection with regards to your children. You pick up your kids and you tell them each, put your knapsack away. You're coming home, you say, "Okay, everyone, it's Friday, let's all put our knapsacks away and then go eat lunch." 2 minutes later, you see your kids are perfectly normal. They are wonderful, normal children. Most of them left their bags at the door and went to eat lunch. Totally ignored you. So, you can decide, I have to teach them. You can decide to call them and say, "Hey guys, I asked you all to put away your bags. Come, before we eat lunch, let's put away our bags." Yeah, you might. But have you noticed those parents who, sometimes at least, will take the bags and put them away and move on with lunch? So maybe educationally you feel like you have to teach them to put their bags away. Maybe educationally you feel like the right thing is they put their bags away because I can't spend my whole life putting their bags after them. But you also have to ask yourself, wait a second, is it really educational? If it is, fine. But if it's not a big deal, and you've made an issue of it 50 times and you haven't succeeded yet, what happens if you pick up those bags, put them away, move on with life, and don't say anything? We have many opportunities in our life to do something without saying anything. I don't need the credit. I won't get the credit. No one will notice what I did. And something good will happen in the world. And we have opportunities to do that. It's a different level of connection. Rav Chalap says, in performing mitzvot, so there's also a level of connection that is not about whether I will get reward or punishment. It's because this is what's going to keep the world moving forward. This is the way Hashem wants this world to look. When Hashem lifts the mountain over us, we accept the Torah. It's not because right now something good is going to happen. It's because this is the way life has to look like. Now, we have opportunities to do that. I boarded the bus this morning, and a kid sitting in the front seat moved over. Said, "You want to sit next to me?" So I was a little concerned. I had to get some work done. But his innocent smile, so I said, "Okay, thank you." I forced a big smile and I sat next to him. Then I discovered the kid suffers from some kind of retardation. What? I did have work to get done. But I sat next to him. 2 minutes into the ride, he tells me, I'm cold. So I realized that the air conditioning vent was open above him. I said, do you want me to close that? So he goes, yeah. Okay, so I closed the vent. I'm working on the laptop, and I show him the Bar Ilan CD. I tell him, you know, there's over 10,000 books in here. So for the rest of the bus ride, I'm trying to work, and he's playing with the Bar Ilan CD, and I'm hoping he won't pull it out of the computer, which he did once, or tried. 20 minutes into the ride, he points to his shoes and says, tie them. I realized his shoes weren't tied. So I tied his shoes. And the whole ride, every like minute or two, he'd like nudge me and smile at me. So I looked back and smiled at him. And he walked off the bus on cloud number 9. Like he had the best bus ride in his life. And the whole bus ride, I'm trying to get stuff done. I got to get stuff done. But every time he nudges me, so the thought is, you have to treat him nicely. You have to treat him nicely. This is a creation of the Ribbon Shalom. And right now what I'd like to do is switch seats and get my work done. But no, the kid wanted someone to sit next to him. I don't know if he knows me. I don't know him. It's the first time I saw him on the bus. He says he lives in our neighborhood. I don't know. Okay? But there's a responsibility that has nothing to do with credit. It's the way the world has to work. Rav Chalap says, when Hashem held the mountain over our head, Hashem was saying, this is life. It's not about you will make it, you won't make it. It is good, it isn't good. You feel like it, you don't feel like it. It's nice or it isn't nice. No. This is the way the world has to work. And that was a concept that had to be ingrained in us. It's a concept of, I'm telling you what life is supposed to look like. And if you're not going to accept the Torah, then don't live. There's no point. Rav Chalap, in developing these 2 points we just learned, is saying there had to be holding the mountain over our head, because the concept wasn't, it's not just because you felt like saying Nasa V'Nishma. It's not just, yes, I want this Torah. It's recognize that you have to be prepared for a life, that this is the life. There's no turning back. There's no other option. It's not because I feel like it. It's not because, yeah, it's good, it's right, it's nice. No, it's right. This is the way to live life. And there's nothing else to think about, whether you feel like it or don't feel like it. And so holding the mountain over our heads was a way of bringing us to realization, it's not about what I want or don't want. Yeah, of course there are things I want to do in life. Of course there are times where I feel like being a nice guy and times where I don't feel like being a nice guy. So what? Hashem says, I want a world. I want a world, you're partners in my world. I want a world that lives the way of the Torah. You are partners in keeping this world running by you living the life of the Torah. And that's coming back to the concept that Hashem says, I want the Torah to always be new to you. Look at the Torah as though there isn't yet a world, and Hashem says, let's partner and create this world. When Hashem says, look at the Torah as new, Hashem says, look at the Torah as not, let's keep things running, but rather, Hashem says, when He holds the mountain over our head, this is the starting point, this is the beginning, let's begin. With the Torah, we create the world, we make the world what it should be. That's the idea of look at the Torah as something new. We come to Mount Sinai by Yom HaZeh on this day. We're preparing ourselves as we prepare for Shavuos to the idea of by Yom HaZeh on this day, as though this is our starting point. The recognition, this is the world Hashem wants to create in partnership with us. Hashem says, I've created the physical, I've created the potential for the spiritual. Your job now, make this physical into spiritual. Make this world into the world it's supposed to be. Be partners in creation. Now we come back to the concept of Mesirut Nefesh. Part of our challenge is that we keep thinking of life as a continuation. Today is a continuation of yesterday. Yesterday is a continuation of the day before. It's as though, yeah, things will just keep running the way they are. And it's like status quo. Did anyone ever ask themselves when they went to sleep, when I wake up in the morning, will I be able to get up? It's like a kid asked his parents, if people die in their sleep, then when they wake up in the morning, how do they know they're dead yet? Right? What?
Like a zombie.
How do they know they're dead? They wake up. How do they know? Right? So we go to sleep at night. Do we realize that we have no idea if tomorrow morning... on one level, you go crazy if you think that. But on another level, there is a perspective on life where I can be much more appreciative for what I have. I woke up one morning, 2-3 weeks ago, and I had a pain around my ankle. So I chose to ignore it, and I moved on with life. And then as the day progressed, the pain started climbing up the veins. So I got a little bit worried. And then the next day, the pain continued and continued climbing up just along the veins. So I got worried that it shouldn't be a blood clot. I'm saying there is such a thing as a blood clot that starts climbing up the leg. And I said, I've never seen such a thing, pain that just runs along the veins. I spent the next 2-3 days going to the hospital, getting tests, going to the doctor, being sent to the specialist, back and forth and back and forth. And I said to myself, it's so interesting. I went to sleep one night and life was running and I had plans for the next day or two or three. You wake up the next morning and suddenly you find yourself spending your day running from doctor to hospital to doctor to test, to back and forth, 2 or 3 days. And Baruch Hashem, they decided it was some kind of infection that would pass. I should just move on with life, take Advil or whatever. But you go to sleep, you think you know what you're planning for tomorrow. When you get up in the morning and you can actually do what you planned, do you say thank you? It's a much better life when you realize it's not a given that I can get up and do what I want today. It's not at all a given. So Rav Harlap says the concept of Mesirut Nefesh is an easier concept when you realize that there's no guarantee I'm living tomorrow. When Avram walks into his house and sees that Sarah dropped dead because she heard about the Akedah, so Avram Avinu could say, what did I do? We know that Sarah, from the moment she was born, was supposed to die that minute. It didn't matter if she would have heard about that Akedah or not. But Avram doesn't know that. The Pasuk tells us, Vayiyuchaye Sarah, the life of Sarah from the minute she was born was supposed to be Me'ashanavisim Shanavishevashanim, 127 years. That was the plan from the beginning. The Pasuk tells you right away, Vayiyu, from the very beginning, her life was supposed to be 127 years. But Avram doesn't know that. What Avram sees is she had a massive heart attack the minute she heard about Akedas Yitzchak. Avram has to live with a reality where he doesn't know. But if I realize that every minute of life isn't a given, if I can pull away from the facade of telling myself that, yeah, I lived yesterday, why shouldn't I live today? I was healthy yesterday, why shouldn't I be healthy today? Come on, there's a world here, there's a norm, of course I'm going to be healthy. Right? Who said? Rav Chalap says when you pull away from that, then Mesirut Nefesh is an easier concept. Okay.
None of that had a part of it, like at her advanced age.
And, I don't know.
She also meant to die in Hebron, or just she happened to die in Hebron?
Seems like she was meant to die in Hebron. Because she initially, her family came from there. Terach's second wife came from the Hittites. So, Chalap goes into a Kabbalistic concept, which I don't know what he means. He says it's the secret of secrets. Okay. He says that there is a potential in the days from Rosh Chodesh Sivan till Shavuos to sense the life that's still waiting for us, which will be a life without pause and constant rejuvenation. He says, a life where we connect to Hashem and it doesn't stop, that's something which a person can sense as they prepare for Shavuos in the final 5 days from Rosh Chodesh. We start sensing, Bayom Hazeh Bau Midbar Sinai, the Jewish people came to the desert of Sinai, and we too come to this elevated state from Rosh Chodesh until Shavuos. A person can elevate themselves to a higher level of connection to the life of Torah. Tov.